Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition, this Friday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are going to be joined this hour by Josh Tolley and Dave Hodges. Smackdown on the New Media, that's the title of the show, and we're going to hear from both Josh Tolley and Dave Hodges. Both are hosts of their own great shows, The Josh Tolley Show, and Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. And they've been on the front lines investigating and exposing everything that's been going on, from the geopolitics to the attack on the media, for years and years now. And Josh Tolley and Dave Hodges both are
Josh
friends
really
of the show.
Handle on, by the way, I just want to say Josh has got a good handle on this topic. I respect what he's got. He kind of gets into both the problem and the solution. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, who better to talk about, you know, where the media, how the media landscape has been changing over the years, and you know, the rise of the alternative media and the falling of the mainstream media, than two of the alternative media's top guys, Josh Tolley and Dave Hodges. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Hey guys, always great being with you. Good seeing you guys.
It's good to be seen, and it's good seeing you as well, folks. If you're watching this live on YouTube Live, there's Josh Tolley. Again, Josh Tolley Show. If you haven't ever tuned into his show, do so. So much valuable information. His analysis is spot on. Josh, start us out here, my man.
It's interesting, you know, we've talked before about how there's this attack on media, and it's fascinating to me how we're seeing that attack escalate. Originally, it was kind of like the left dominated the media, and that was the way it was for a long time. It was like this mainstream left-leaning domination for a couple generations. And then along came conservative talk radio, and then a little bit of liberty-minded conservative television. But now there's an attack on anything that represents the truth, and here's the scary part. It comes from both sides. And we've talked about this before on your show. There's this war on what's called fake media or fake news. But the problem is that the governments around the world are the ones that are determining what is and what is not fake. And whenever that happens, that's obviously a problem. And the United States of America is no exception to that. We, too, are fighting fake news. And as we talked about on the show, it doesn't matter even if you're a Republican or a pro-Trump supporter. The war on fake news, quote-unquote, is happening. It's happening fast, and both sides are trying to fight it. Donald Trump said he's after fake news, and he called CNN fake news, and a lot of Trump supporters are like, yeah, get them. But wait a second. The government should never say what is and what is not fake. I think CNN is as worthless as the bottom side of a newspaper inside of a birdcage, but still, the government shouldn't be the one to determine what is and what is not fake. That's where this crosses a line, and anybody who's been paying attention to alternative media for over 24 months is starting to see some very big red flags here.
You're absolutely right, Josh. And you know, with the term fake news, one thing that's not talked about when we talk about fake news is the mainstream media's role and propaganda. You know, when we see with the internet, we saw the explosion of the alternative media, of citizen journalists, and we also saw the fake news narrative launch. But when you look back throughout history, at least in the last 50 years, from the first Iraq War there's just a number fake news stories that were presented by the government, by the mainstream media, that are never categorized as fake news. And if you want the, and where did fake news get started from? It was the mainstream media.
But hold on, Joe. Hold on a second. And Josh, here's my problem with this. The phrase fake news is being used by people on the right and left as a comeback for issues or stances, positions they don't agree with. It is ill-defined, it is improperly used, and it has been a phrase that has been weaponized, and does, much like conspiracy theorists, fake news is now the new phrase of choice, and it really angers me. Go ahead, sir.
Well, not only is it just a phrase to discredit people, but it's one that's coming with consequence. See, in Europe right now, countries like Spain and Germany and Italy and Sweden are passing rules and laws against fake news. So if something is deemed fake and it is spread on social media, then those social media hubs are held responsible for that fake news and they're subject to massive fines. So before, let's just pick something like Bigfoot or something. Let's say you posted something about Bigfoot 10 years ago. You might have been called, oh, a conspiracy theorist or some sort of late night sort of entertainment or whatever. But now, if it's considered fake news, then Facebook gets a fine of like $28,000 per post. So now Facebook has to come along and eliminate all the fake news, which of course they're glad to do since they're on the inside of this thing anyway. But the point is that this isn't just na-na-na-boo-boo. It's now you get punished. And that's where this crosses some very, very dirty lines. Before, it could be, okay, fine, if you don't want to believe him, don't believe him. Maybe he didn't see an alien. But now it's completely different. And what's considered fake now is stuff that most of us have been reported on. So one of the examples of fake news that they're giving as a story to kind of take off the internet are stories about, like, Hillary Clinton and her illnesses. Remember, the official story was she had pneumonia like 28 times in 2 weeks? Well, if anybody was questioning that, like, hey, I had a neurologist on the show, he said that's not pneumonia, that's considered fake news, that now can be punished. And that's where this gets creepy. And we might say, well, a lot of us haven't been punished yet, but the yet is the key word, because the fact is they're coming after us, and they're taking down big names too. Anybody who's talking about the truth is now subject to punishment, dismissal, public humiliation, you name it. So it's one of those things that consumers of true media, and here's the thing, I like to consider alternative media the real media, because the media used to be the people asking the questions. Asking the questions was never a bad thing. Today, it's looked down on, not only by people in the establishment and in people in the mainstream media, but our fellow citizens. If you start asking questions, oh, you're just crazy, you're one of those nuts. So I want to applaud people who consume media like ours, but at the same time tell them you gotta be ready because this is coming, and I kinda wanna at some point tonight talk into possible solutions for this attack too. Because just knowing it's coming does us no good if we don't have a counter to it.
No, you're absolutely right, and we will have time and we'll make sure that we hit on the solutions aspect, because as many of our listeners and people know, that it's just as important to talk about the, if not more important, to talk about the solutions as it is the problem. Dave Hodges from The Common Sense Show we have with us now. Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, it's good to be here, guys, as we fight for our collective lives, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dave, and you heard Josh talking about the issue of fake news, the fake news meme, that whole narrative. You're familiar with that. You heard that. Continue with that.
Well, the thing I would say, and I think you guys covered a lot of salient points here, and I feel like I'm repeating to the choir here, because fake news is the euphemism to shut you up. It's basically what they're saying is, I don't agree with what you say, so I'll label you fake news. Doug, I think it was you that said it's the new conspiracy theorist term. So it's a psyop term. It's absolutely correct. And what they're basically saying too, and this is the one thing I think I would like to shift the emphasis off of us and onto the masses. And what the powers that be behind the leftist media are saying is, you're too stupid, you're too dumb, and we're having too good a time raping you, robbing you, and murdering you, and stealing all the rest of your assets, so you can't know the truth. We're going to keep you in the dark. We're not going to let you know. And that's the message that I think that we really need to be conveying. More than the fact that they're taking away our livelihood, more than the fact that we can't even make ends meet to stay on the air, what's really going on here is total news blackout. Total news blackout. Let me give you an example. I've done a couple of experiments. I've gone in and I've grabbed a Fox News story or a CNN story, and I've looked at their take on it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to publish something on YouTube that's exactly the same story, but I'm going to give a conservative bent, and I'm going to keep it in the meter between 4 and 6, not go extreme on the 1 or 10 side. And boom, right out of the blocks, demonetized. Yet the CNN and Fox story, not demonetized. I'm fake news. They're not. They disagree with me. They agree with Fox and CNN. Hence, there's the whole scenario right there, guys, in a nutshell.
Josh, your response to that, have you experienced that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And then you get edited and barred from websites. We've had it so people can't even post my name in a Facebook post and have that post posted. You delete my name and then, you know, same post can go up. So, yeah, there are filters, and, you know, Dave's right. It's to put a lid on what is and what is not exposed, because gone are the real journalists. You know, I had Dan Rather on the show, and he said, right, and people can go look it up. He said right on my show, he said in the 38 years or 36 years he was with CBS, not one show was his own reporting. It was all fed to him. Well, what happened to the reporters who wanted to chase down the stories? Those are gone. Now you have these people who want to look great. Have you noticed how all reporters could be models? So you have these reporters who want to look great, who want to have massive celebrity followings, get endorsement deals and Instagram likes, and gone are the people who actually go after stories, and then arises the alternative media. So they squish that too, and they put a lid on us. So, yeah, it's exactly what Dave's saying.
Dave? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I mean, you're exactly right, and you mentioned this earlier, the fact of asking questions. When did asking questions become a bad thing or a sign of, losing your mind? As you said, you know, people who are asking questions.
They're all prompter readers, though.
Well, now they are. And that goes back to what, Josh, what you're saying about the journalistic integrity. You know, there used to be standards and ethics in the profession of journalism. You'd find a story or you'd follow a story. You'd ask questions. You'd get to the truth. You'd report your findings. And as my dad just said, and as you said, now these people are nothing more than, you know, glorified script readers. And it's just amazing where how far down the toilet the profession of journalism has gone.
Well, Dave Hodges, what's the most egregious thing that you're seeing right now with respect to the issue of the media and the
well, I'm going to date myself here, guys. I was thinking about this right when you brought this up. The most egregious thing are there are no more Peter Arnetts. And what I mean by Peter Arnett, he was a reporter for CNN. He uncovered the use of sarin gas in Vietnam and the fact that we had used sarin gas. And he had this story nailed to a T, and you never heard of Peter Arnett again. That's where all the independent journalists have gone. You cover something that the other side, the liberal left loonies, don't want covered, you are out of work and you do not work again. And that's the most egregious thing. And you're absolutely right. There is no independent journalism. It's total and strict propaganda. It's the propaganda network show. There is no news.
And that's right, Dave. And one thing that, you know, in today's world, if you find a reporter, like you just mentioned, somebody who does a good job getting the facts of the story, exposing something that maybe is being left, you know, to get no attention on purpose, and then they're being, you know, forced out of their job, or you have people like Michael Hastings, where mm-hmm. you have instances like that. But today there's an opportunity for disenfranchised journalists from mainstream media to go and start their own organization. The only problem with that is the resources that is needed to do something like that, and the coverage. You can't start from scratch and expect to gain a considerable amount of audience unless you have the right connections. But
are kicking the crap out of the mainstream media. We are destroying their numbers during the election cycle. And Doug, I know this is true for you. Josh, I'm assuming it was true for you. It was true for us. I was outdrawing Wolf Blitzer by a ratio of 2-1 and 3-1 on a regular basis. People who had contact with me versus contact with him. That's what they can't tolerate. This is why YouTube is doing what they're doing. This is why Google is attaching malicious email messages to my emails that people forward. Or when Steve Quayle publishes something from the Common Sense Show and people go to my website, about one in three people are getting, this is a malicious website from Google. They're doing it because they can't stand it on two counts. One, they want the furtherance of the propaganda that will lead to this new world order. And number two, we're kicking the crap out of them financially and they can't take it. So they got to cheat. They got to misuse their monopolizations, their monopolies. They're violating antitrust laws. But the problem is they got more money than God and they're really outside our legal reach.
Josh, what setbacks or changes have you noticed on YouTube that, you know, Dave just mentioned some, we've gone through things from, you know, demonetization of individual videos to the outright ban on being able to monetize videos. Ran into problems with using the wrong words or, you know, talking about Islam or, what challenges and changes have you seen on YouTube that has changed the way you've had to work or, this effect?
Well, really, you know, a lot of the initial things like titles and keywords and, you know, you name it something else so nobody really knows what it is until it's already out there and all that sort of stuff, because largely they just use algorithms to filter through the content. So having to go through that. But I think something that we're really witnessing now is making it illegal. And this is a point that can't be stressed enough. We just had the Foreign Disinformation or Countering Foreign Disinformation and Propaganda Act. This is insanely important because what this does is it moves us directly to that point where the government can now legally claim something as fake news. And it's not a coincidence that all radio signal has gone digital now. I air on traditional terrestrial radio stations, right? Every station that carries my show is a digital signal now. And it has basically a kill switch. That was part of the change about 2-3 years ago. Well, now television has done the exact same thing. Now all broadcasters have to broadcast digitally, and they can kill it. Where an analog signal, you could take a potato, some salt water, a piece of wire, and create a radio that broadcasts. Well, now you have to go through a digitized system. It's kind of like they've put a control on the pipe. And then they move forward with this Countering Foreign Disinformation and Propaganda Act, and people think, well, it's okay because Trump's president now, and that is 100% irrelevant. It's absolutely irrelevant who the president is, because as we know, the president's only there for so many years. So even if this guy is St. Peter on a cracker, we still have to deal with this law once he's gone. However, we know he's fighting, quote-unquote, fake news, too. And while there might be an appearance of bringing in an alternative media, and I hope it's true, and hallelujah if it is, there's still that framework that gets to say what is and what is not fake. And here's where it gets even more dangerous. If you remember, before Barack Obama left office, we were handing control of the Internet over to an international body. Well, you might say, well, that's countering foreign disinformation. Well, if the Internet is now in control of if the foreign community is now in control of the Internet, then all Internet traffic is, in a sense, foreign information. And just like we saw with PRISM, when Snowden leaked what was going on with that, what they would do if they wanted to get an international warrant, because, of course, Barack Obama told us we're not spying on you Americans, they would just route your cell phone call through a cell phone tower in Toronto, bring it back into America. Now it's an international call. They can listen to you all they want without a warrant. Well, they do the same thing with your Internet feed. They'll just ping it off of the Bahamas, bring it back, boom, now it's an Internet signal. Now they can do whatever they want to with it. And that's the thing that people need to remember, that we are fighting what used to be just a lopsided scale. Now it's a lopsided scale with a couple bats and a handcuff or two. So that's what I see.
You know, there's an interesting article that shows a video from March of Eric Schmidt from Google saying, we're not arguing for censorship, we're arguing just to take it off the page. This is Google CEO Eric Schmidt was asked by Fox Business how they plan to deal with extremist content And Schmidt responded by mixing in fake news with extremist things and suggested their computer algorithms will determine what's true. But bottom line is say that they want to just remove it from the page. As you said earlier, Josh, the fake news term and then the add in the extremist label, how can, I mean, this is, there's no clear definition. And as Dave pointed out, something that CNN reports, he could report the exact same thing, and he'd be deemed, you know, an extremist or fake news, and while CNN is allowed to continue. I know we're going to talk about solutions in a little bit, but any suggestions on how to, I mean, you mentioned earlier changing the title of the video to something that, you know, has nothing to do with it as a way of getting around it. That might work for, you know, certain topics, and but I just don't see that as a solution for as a way to make all your content. But is there any way from what we're doing to get, I mean, to have people write to their congressmen? What could we do to make sure that, you know, there are no laws or things passed that leave the labeling and defining of what is extreme and what is fake to the government?
Well, I think step one is to get a handle on the definitions. Because before me and Dave came on in the first hour, you guys were talking about pronouns in New York. Well, we have things called hate crimes, where if you say the wrong thing, it is now a crime. Because somehow they can read your intentions and your emotions when you said it. So we have to get to this point where we start actually putting down some legal definitions and getting rid of the emotional ruling of a country and go back to a logical ruling of a country. If we are to... Here's the thing. If we're going to do this, it's not going to be at a DC level. It's just not. Sun Tzu would even tell you, you never fight an enemy on the field of battle that they designed. Well, DC is a field of battle that the enemy designed. That's why they constantly want us thinking, how do we go after the White House every 4 years? Meanwhile, most of us don't know who's on the ballot for next year's mayoral run. So we have to refocus on what we can control, and even to the certain point where, and we'll talk about this in a little bit with solutions, but even to the point where we start setting up low-power FM stations. If every listener to the Hagman Report set up a low-power FM station for under $100, you can start broadcasting the Hagman Report on regular analog because it's low power, and you could kind of envelop the primary areas with the message anyway. And I think part of it, too, is getting back to print. There's a reason why Russia is getting rid of email intelligence and going back to print. And I think to a certain extent, as much as we love the clicks and the likes and the rev shares and all the stuff from YouTube, there's going to come a point where if we don't have printed content that we are once again distributing to our followers, then our followers are going to be left out in the dark.
No, you're absolutely right. Dave, I want to ask you, being that you have the Common Sense Show and the website, and I don't believe you're on any terrestrial stations. What are some of
we are on some terrestrial stations. Yeah, I broadcast through a number of networks, one of which is Red State Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, we have Northern California affiliates, and you know the way I find out about the affiliates is I hear from the people who listen, because we have open source, so people can just come in and grab the signal, which is fine. But yeah, we do both. We do digital, and we do terrestrial.
What are some of the ways that that you're being censored? And when I say censored, you know, we've talked about what's going on on YouTube, but with social media and the internet, you know, from shadow banning on Twitter to the search pages, if you search for the Common Sense Show, have you been knocked down? What are some of the ways of censorship that are going on that people might not be aware of?
Well, you just mentioned the one on when I write articles. I frequently catch in Google pushing down. And it's funny. There was a site today that actually was running an article plus a YouTube video of mine, and they were higher up on the search list, and they only had maybe like 500 people that went to their site. and here's the original source, mine, with many more times the volume of traffic, and Google had pushed me all the way down the bottom of the page, and this site was like 6-7 places above me. So it's clear and it's deliberate. I kind of live this vicariously through my friend Mike Adams. Mike was completely delisted with Natural News for a week, and I helped jump in with this and call attention to it, and then one day someone at Google decided, well, I guess we can list him again. So they're not above delisting, and I know Alex Jones put something out on InfoWars a few weeks ago where he said he expects this to happen a lot. So they do that. That's one real big thing they do. Probably the most blatant form of censorship. I was going to be the first non-mainstream media to interview Ammon Bundy, and right here on Global Star where our show airs, and Todd, our producer, was getting ready to bring Ammon on, and everything went black. You know, we got two different satellites we're on, as you guys know, and they both went down. Our Listen by Phone, which is independent, yep, went down. We couldn't do anything that night, and we kind of had to trick the system. We got Ammon on Skype the next day.
Dave, I'm going to have to stop you there. Brother, I'm going to have to stop you there. We're up against a break. Two broadcasting luminaries, Josh Tully, Josh Tully's show, Dave Hodges' Common Sense Show. Folks, you're listening to Gold. Let me tell you, I'll be right back with both Dave and Josh. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. So, and by the way, what we all can do about it.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.trainpersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
break. Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Hagman Report. Sorry about that, folks. I was looking at Eric the tech, and he was conveying a message to me. Shame on you, by the way. Does your mother know that? Never mind. I'm kidding. Two broadcast professionals, luminaries in their field, Dave Hodges and Josh Tully. Dave was right before the break was saying about the kind of advancing on the digital aspect of things and the censorship, which I find pretty fascinating, or what appears to be censorship. Dave, go ahead and finish your thought. Then we're gonna kick it to Josh. He said something that I really found interesting. But go ahead, Dave. Finish your thought on this. This is great. By the way, Dave's going to be with us into the next segment. Josh has got to run, but Dave will be with us. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, guys, I would say this: the genre that we are operating out of has to adapt. We couldn't foresee what was coming. I mean, when we got started in the alternative media and started to grow, we were using the big boys and really our enemies' platforms. And we've discovered that because they have the platforms, it's the golden rule. You know, you have the gold makes the rules, and now we're suffering because of it. People are going to be losing a lot of their news sources because of the demonetization and censorship policies, and there's going to be fewer of us broadcasting. There's no question about it. I'm going to be scaling back, and we can talk about when we get to solutions, but we're going to see a lot of this going on, and so we have to adapt. The truth will not just go away. The truth won't be extinguished, but the truth is going to have to change forms. And so when we get into solutions, I think we can explore what some of those things are. But to sit here and jump up and down and scream and yell and say that's not fair, you know, we'll get sympathy for about 5 minutes from the audience, but at the end of the day, we're left with a that's not fair, and we're losing our shirts, and the people aren't getting what they need in the volume that they were used to getting it. So that's kind of where I see us at the present moment.
Exactly. And it's interesting how the how all of this affects the end user, the consumer, because it does push the consumer into it, just like a row of stores, for example. If you've got five stores of the same item, having the same item, you've got some choices there. You've got a lot of dynamics. And if you're funneled into one, you don't have any choice. And it's that might be a stretch of an analogy, but there it is. Josh, I'm going to kick it to you because, and by the way, I got an email today, Dave, about somebody was yapping, saying, well, martial law, you know, Dave Hodges referencing the martial law. Martial law will never, ever, ever, ever be implemented here in the United States. And Josh, you had an interesting, you made an interesting statement. Just to go ahead to kind of merge all that together.
Yeah, exactly. Just to piggyback on what Dave was saying, you know, I think sometimes the end user doesn't realize the censorship is happening because they don't know what they didn't have access to a moment ago. Like, let's say Dave puts up five articles, just as an example, and three of them get censored. Well, the end user only says, oh, he put up two articles. Great, we have freedom. No, you have three that you're never going to see because they got pulled. And I think the end user hasn't really fully grasped how real this actually is. You know, what we were fearing happening 5 years ago is happening. It's happening now. And as much as I love being an American, our colleagues in Europe and in Asia, this is way, way, way worse for them. You know, Turkey right now is listed as the number one place for journalists to end up in prison. And our current administration praises the leader of Turkey and the job he's doing. So it's interesting when you talk about that and then compare it to martial law. I had somebody recently ask me, you know, do you really think we're ever going to have martial law? And I just kind of laughed and I said, what do you think martial law looks like, sweetie? I mean, think about it. You can't leave the United States without permission. You can't come back in without permission. You can't build a fence over 24 inches in the city I'm in, thanks to UN regulations. You can't build onto your bathroom without permission. You can't collect rainwater in 17 states. You know, you look at all this stuff you cannot do without permission. That's martial law. And it's almost like we're a dog, right? We expect it to be boots in the street, some sort of police state apocalyptic movie. And that's what martial law is really going to look like. But you only institute martial law because you have control. Well, they have control. They have control. Look at the permissions we have to give on the phone just to activate the phone that's in all of our pockets. And it's kind of like this. It's kind of like a dog in a yard. A dog in a yard knows that they're kept in a yard if there's a big silver fence. They know they're in captivity. Well, today, we're like the dog, but the fence is gone. It's an invisible fence. And the dog thinks they're free. They think, oh, I'm now free, until they try to run across that line. And as soon as they do, wham, they get you. And then the dog realizes, hey, wait a second, I was never really free anyway. I was just kind of docile and playing in the little area they gave me to play in. So in reality, in a very real sense, the only thing we're missing is the boots in the ground, because control-wise, we're there. They could kill this broadcast right now if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, Josh, I know your feelings on the government getting involved in areas and then, you know, them completely ruining it. And a great example you gave when we were in Dallas last year was marriage, how, you know, people began asking the government to get involved in marriage, and then we see, you know, that was the problem, instead of people just following what the Bible said, and getting the government involved, you know, led to this bureaucratization and all this other things, all these other things. What is your thoughts on, with Trump in the White House, a Republican House and Senate, should their involvement be in, if the censorship that we see is getting out of hand, in net neutrality, should we see or expect to see any government interference into what we're seeing going on in the media, from the censorship issue? You mentioned the fake news earlier. Or do you see, do you believe that it will only make things worse?
I think that what road we are on, we are going to continue to be on. Whether it's delayed or slowed down under Trump, great. But the road is still happening. And, you know, the regulation is still present. And if you haven't been paying attention, look at the Republicans. What have they been doing that is so awesome? I mean, here they had both houses and the House, or and the White House, basically an open field, run with the ball, do whatever you want, and yet at 100 days, no major legislation has been passed, including repealing the stuff they promised to repeal. So confidence in these people is somewhere below negative 20. So the reality is that, yeah, I completely expect the control to continue, especially as we enter in a worldwide society. I mean, think about this. What is a worldwide government, right? Everybody fears worldwide government. And again, we think apocalyptic movies, some Xerxes character is going to stand on top of a building someplace and say, now you are all under me. Wait a second. We're all under Google. Google's policy affects me here. It affects my broadcast in Turkey. It affects my broadcast in Chile. I am under a worldwide policy of governance. It's even called a policy of governance. So in a very real way, we have a worldwide government. But again, because we're thinking we're looking for Xerxes, we're missing what's actually happening. See, the enemy got smart. The enemy said, hey, let's tie them up first before we announce ourselves. Through all history, the enemy would come through and say, here comes Xerxes, we're going to kill you, and then try to kill you, and people had time to resist and fight back. Well, now what they've done is they've kind of put the ropes around us first, and they're not announcing themselves until it's too late. That's where we're at. So that's why this conversation is so important, and I hope the people listening and watching understand how important this conversation is tonight and how important it is to share this video with others.
Dave, what's your opinion on what you expect, if anything, from the Trump administration in dealing with the media? And do you believe that if they do anything, it would be helpful or not? Do we lose you, Dave?
Here, I'm having trouble, guys. Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay.
That's all right. Yeah, we can hear you.
You're cutting out a little bit. Am I coming through?
No, you're coming through fine, Dave.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard the question.
I was getting a little cut out on my end. You know how Skype can be. You guys really have summed it up very, very well. I think what we really need to look at here, if we could, before Josh goes, is what avenues we have available to us. How can we adapt and respond?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Josh, coming back to you, again, last year when we were at the conference, I remember you talking about new ways of communication, whether it was, putting information on the laser pointers and beaming the information, or can you explain what some of those ways of communicating that most of us are unaware of?
Oh, sure. And you know, what I was talking about was because even in terrestrial radio, all of those stations now have a digital signal. And it's one of those things that can be just killed like that. So in my hobby time, like I have any, I happen to be a ham radio operator. And in ham radio, we can do a lot of really cool stuff. And I'm not saying that ham radio is the answer. I'm just saying that it gives a kind of a window or an insight. I can attach an email message and send an email to Dave right now and do it without any internet. So the internet can be completely down, and I'm sending emails. Matter of fact, before the internet was even available to people, there were already text messages being sent across ham radio screens around the world, and they were just hooking it up to, at the time, like Commodore 64s. So there is a way to do that. But then somebody might say, well, what about jamming it and all that sort of stuff? Well, there's ways around that also. And that's what you were referencing just a second ago, Joe. You can take a laser pointer, and it's really kind of simple. I can teach people how to do it for like a $10 trip to Walmart. You take one of those laser pointers that you annoy your cat with, you take it apart, and you use the laser part as a broadcast signal. That light beam is actually a radio wave. It's part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and you can attach a signal, a noise, music, an email, whatever, a picture file to that light, and then shoot it to whoever you want. And this is the great part. Unless they physically get in front of that laser beam, they can't intercept it. They can't jam it. So you have access to a lot of really, really awesome stuff, and it's all free out there. I mean, if people wanted to start, go to the Amateur Radio Relay League, ARRL, and just start digging through stuff, because it's out there. And I'm not saying that that's, you know, the end-all, be-all solution, but it's an example of modes of communication that most people are not even aware of. We're so reliant on the thing in our pocket these days that if it went out, we'd be done.
And one more time, the Amateur...
Amateur Radio Relay League, right?
Amateur Radio
Relay. Interesting.
Yep, Amateur Radio Relay League, and then you have magazines like CQ and... Or to be honest, if somebody wants information on ham radio, you can email me. You know, it's kind of my geeky little hobby, so go ahead and email me.
I'm just curious, Josh, and I want to be obviously, I don't want to cut into Dave's time or your time, but I'm just curious. Can you buy just ham radio receivers, or do you need to have the whole unit? If you just want to, or I guess what would be the point, right?
No. That's a really good question. You can have receivers, transmitters, or transceivers.
Okay.
And you don't even have to be licensed to use the receiver.
Right.
So if you just want to listen, that's absolutely fine. And just between you, me, and the fence post, there are organizations of ham radio operators that plan on distributing information if this system goes down. They've been practicing it since the 20s. So it's already there. Hmm. And you don't have to have a license to listen at all.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
We got about 12 minutes before the end of the segment. Let's get into solutions, because I know, Josh, you're going to be leaving us before the end of the
segment. That's a big one, but go on.
Yeah, what are solutions, and I don't know what you're going to talk about in the way of solutions, but are we looking at ways around the censorship from, other alternative forms of disseminating the information, or a different way of presenting the information?
Or can we take Eric Schmidt hostage? Is that... No, go ahead.
Well, I think part of it is what would be called radio. I think that's a huge part. Even on the CB side of things, which is citizen band, you can go grab, a used ham radio or a used CB at any garage sale for like $5. There's a nationwide network on Channel 3 that regularly meets across the world, and they have what's called a net, where messages are relayed from one coast to the other coast via this net. So even if it's on CB, the you know, radio is going to play a role, absolutely no doubt about it. But I think, again, adding a printed element, I know we are in the era of instant gratification and only getting our news by headlines we see on Facebook, but adding a printed element so that's up and running in that time of the net going down. I mean, think about it. Before the post office even existed, people got information around the world. So there's a way to do it. It might be slow, but we need to start building those networks. And speaking of networks, start communicating with the people around you. It's amazing how many people around you are thinking and feeling the same thing, but they don't know who to talk to. It's alarming to me how we know everything about the guys who are just in the NFL draft, but you don't know who lives 6 feet to the left of you. So start creating those networks where you guys can start pooling information, so that way as the information funnel might slow down, instead of you getting one bucket, your neighbor now might get a cup, and the next neighbor might get a cup, and it might add up to one bucket at the end of the day anyway. You know, and that kind of piggybacks on, don't be so reliant on other people. Start looking into things. Start asking questions. We have to get back to this place where we ask questions again. And a great example of this, to be honest, a great example of how we see this playing out is with a controversial issue of this flat earth thing, right? Everybody's either pro or con. They're yelling at each other. I couldn't care less. But think about what that issue has done. It has caused everybody to learn something. Now, you have people who didn't even care about gravity learning about light refraction off of water molecules and rates of gravity. I mean, by asking questions, people are learning something. So we have to get back to that, too, and then really continue to get local, 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 local. They've convinced us that we can't have a good life unless we fix our city, and we can't fix our city unless we fix our county. Facts, can't fix the county until we fix the state. Can't fix the state until we fix the nation. And now they're telling us we can't have a good nation unless we fix the world. But it doesn't actually work that way. It's just like when you go on an airplane, in the case of emergency, an oxygen mask will deploy. You put your oxygen mask on first. So get back to that when it comes to information, when it comes to liberty. What's going on in your neighborhood? I get the Illuminati is from, you know, 900 years ago, and the Rothschilds are part of it. Awesome. But what's happening to the water pipelines in your town? For goodness sakes, that thing I referenced with you can't build a 24-inch fence in my city is real. That's not hyperbole. And when I went to the meeting to protest it, there were two people there, for goodness sakes. So we have to get involved. People keep saying, what can I do? Start a business. Get out of this 50 to 60 hour a week thing that keeps you dead and broke. Start reading the Bible. Start looking around you. Be observant what's going on in your neighborhood. If it wasn't for observant people, we would have no clue those airplanes are landing in the middle of the night with refugees on them that we've talked about before. But it was because one woman was saying, hey, wait a second, that plane isn't supposed to be here, that all of a sudden, boom, that entire story blew up. And now people in D.C. have to deal with it. So start being observant around you.
Dave? Perfect. Dave?
He's right. He's right. The answer is right in front of us. And I think we better get moving, guys, because let me tell you what I'm seeing from YouTube. This is what's coming out of YouTube. And this is the latest through a source I trust. And I believe YouTube said this. Oh, hang on a little bit longer, oh, independent media. We're going to bring it back. And they're just stringing us to bleed us.
Don't rely, exactly. And what Josh said, Dave, is right on the money. I mean, we can't rely on anyone else. And you're right about that. You're right about, you know, just hang on. No, I ain't hanging on.
And Josh, you mentioned the one thing about the you know, acting and thinking locally. And that's very important because I want to just give you an example. Everybody remembers the Flint, Michigan water crisis where, all these celebrities and activists came out to protest the amount of lead in Flint's water. Well, a few weeks ago, there was a story, it was a local story for us here, but it was a national story that it didn't see get much attention. And it showed 10 municipalities that had higher lead content in their water than Flint. And our city, Erie, Pennsylvania, was one of them. And, you know, we didn't see anything on the local news about it. It was barely even a mention of it in a blurb on national news. Yet with the Flint, something that was not even as bad as these other 10 cities they're showing, you know, you have, you know, celebrity and award shows and all these people, you know, bringing attention to this, which led me to think, you know, how effective or how doing a show, a news show, a current events news alternative show about local issues. And then that got me, you know, thinking a number of different roads. But, Josh, what would your advice be if somebody were to start doing shows like ours, only locally? What would be the best way to get that content distributed? Do you believe, like, guerrilla marketing tactics of going around, handing out copies or putting them in mailboxes to how would you get local airtime on both either TV or radio? What would be some of the steps you'd take to get that off the ground?
That's a great question. We have become so narcissistic that most people, when they think about, hey, how do I do something, it's about how do I do something in order to get famous. And that part is really killing our side of this mission here.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. Too many people are like, well, I'm going to start a YouTube show and become famous. And that's... No. If you're really going to do it for real. Start being observant. And here's the other thing that has to go with being local or national, for that matter. Start supporting the businesses that support you. Like, every conversation that has to do with, well, the mainstream media is bad, or the Illuminati rules everything, or, you know, crazy elite Jews, or whatever, all comes down to money, right? So put your money where the mouth is. If the Hagmans have a sponsor, support that sponsor. Because the reality is that even though, yes, there are like 6 companies that rule media, there are still local stations. I just met with an owner like 2 weeks ago and said, hey, I have a show, can I put it on? That was with one guy, and the conversation was, okay, yeah. Oh, that's it. But you have to be able to go out and support those sponsors. Because think about it. The reason the mainstream media got so big in the first place was because they had all the money. It used to be a network of thousands of independent little media companies out there, and they used money to gobble them all up. But our side of the argument wants everything for free. Just give me free, free, free. I don't want to spend $5 for a monthly subscription. Oh, no. But I'll drop $80 taking 2 kids to the movie and not complain about it. But heaven forbid, those Hagmans are greedy if they want $5 a month. That has to stop. That mindset is going to kill us.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, with the prevalence of cable today, and we see, you know, the kind of money that is being raked in there, and then Dave talked about it earlier, you know, when you look at the numbers of people that shows like yours and Dave's and other alternative platforms reach, it is, it's alarming to see. I mean, obviously it's unfair, but the game's rigged. You can't expect to win in a rigged game, but you can, you know, continue to try, and that's what
but
we.
But that's because, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but that's because we haven't been business people about it. Why does a magazine with fewer subscribers than you guys have make $1.9 million a year, yet your show, I'm assuming, it doesn't? Why? Because when it comes to YouTube and internet, we're thinking, man, $21 per thousand's awesome. No, it isn't. That wouldn't keep your local paper open. But yet we settle for it and go, oh, wow, that's so great. No, we have to treat this like a business, because that's exactly what the enemy did. The enemy saw media and said, okay, this is only useful if we treat it as a business. And they did, and it worked. And now because of that, like Dave said, we are now fighting Goliath. There's no reason why a YouTube channel with as many subscribers as you guys are having is not making more than a magazine like Muscle and Fitness or Yachting International. Because more eyes on target are coming to you than those magazines. Yet those magazines have massive office buildings, massive staffs, massive ad revenues, where you can't even get a full-page ad one time without a $20,000 drop in the bucket. But people will call you and say, well, if I give you $100, will you market my business? Stop it! Either pony up or sit down.
I love it. I love it. Josh, I want to thank you so much for your gift of time for joining us tonight. I know you're a busy guy. By the way, Josh Tolley, T-O-L-L-E-Y, joshtolley.com, The Josh Tolley Show. You can go to his website, joshtolley.com. It's linked off of our website at program description as well. 50 states, all 50 states, his show is heard in 160 countries, 16 million listeners. The guy knows what he's talking about. His book, Evangel.
Yeah, come on, say it with me. Evangelpreneur.
Evangelpreneur. I was
one of these days. One of these days.
I don't know. But anyway, Josh, thanks for being a part of this discussion tonight with us and Dave Hodges. On the other side, Dave continues. Get ready, Dave. Buckle up. Josh, thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much. See you later, guys.
See, the program clock. We don't have a program clock here, and Eric the tech saying,
well, what are you going to do for the next 30 seconds?
Okay, we're going to sing, right?
No, we're good. Folks, we'll be right back with our third and final hour on this Friday edition with Dave Hodges right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, danielholdings.com. That's danielholdings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to danielholdings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high net worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.